Like if you open your Bibles at Acts chapter 2, over these last weeks we were looking at the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we said that doctrine was teaching. And we look at the virgin birth of Christ. We look at his sinless life. We also look at his sufferings, both spiritual and his physical suffering, the death and the cross and Calvary for our sin, and how he was buried. And then he rose again from the dead. Father rose him again. And then we look at the ascension into heaven and his work there at this very moment. He is our great high priest and he's interceding for us. Now, last Lord's Day, we look at the disciples as they were waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And while they were waiting, they were praying. And they were in supplication, which simply means they were humble in humility. And also they were in unity as they prepared for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. Now we are looking at the sending of the Holy Ghost. The sending of the Holy Ghost. And we'll see in verse 1, we weren't able to read the whole chapter, in which I would have liked to have done, but I will be referring to other verses of scripture that we did not read today. But here we have the disciples together. And they were waiting for the Holy Ghost to come upon them. Now, the waiting is nearly over. Soon God would send the Holy Ghost to them. Because we read in verse 4 and verse 5 of chapter 1, and there here the Lord Jesus Christ says, wait for the promise of the Father. And in verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. These were the words to the apostles. Now we will look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Here we have the apostles all together, and they were in unity. The Holy Ghost was about to come upon them. And then we read in verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Here we have the apostles sitting down in the house. And there was a great mighty wind came, filled the house. It was the Holy Ghost that came and filled the house. What a change. Something wonderful was about to happen. And in verse 4 it tells us that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Here we have the Holy Ghost coming upon the apostles. And what was it like? It was like it was a cloven tongue, like as on to fire. Of course, we all know what a tongue is. That muscular organ that is in our mouth. And what does it do? It's for speech. It's for voice. It's for speaking. That's what it is used for. And when we look here at this cloven tongue, it means actually parted. So we have this tongue which was parted. But then our minds go back to the chapter 1 as well. And in verse 8. And here it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem." And in there we have the part. And in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God's word will reach all over the world. Is that wonderful? Here we have this tongue of speaking and of witness. This part of tongue will go all around the world. The Holy Ghost had come upon them. And how they speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, they were speaking with the gift of tongues. There's no doubt about that. This is what the Bible says. And as I studied it and I read it, without any help from any commentaries or anything else, because I know it is a very important chapter in the scriptures for many people. And this actually happened, and there they were, filled with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit. Give them utterance. What a change, wasn't it? They weren't all gathered together and with fear now. They weren't all gathered together waiting because the waiting was over. The prayers that they prayed were answered. And they were in blessing, all the preparation and in the humility. It had all been fulfilled now. Here the Holy Ghost had come upon them. Then secondly, we see the witness of the Holy Ghost. The witness of it. And in verse 5-11, I'm not going to read it. With all those big words, I had difficulty enough the first time. And I'm sure if there was somebody who was good at that speech, I'm sure they would have been surprised at some of them words, and they're hard to mention. And we looked at the verse 5, we read it, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, and I want you to understand that. The people were there, Jews. They come to the feast. And that feast was a remembrance of the giving of the law. And how people, they try to live by the law. And as they were in Jerusalem, you can just imagine it. And they were all from all these different nations, and they had different dialects. They had a different language. And that they were born in different nations. And there was a difficulty for them. And here, as they gather around the apostles, because word soon got out that the Holy Ghost had come upon them. And as they mixed in with them, they were amazed because of the witness of the Holy Ghost. Because as the apostles spoke, remember, they were all Galileans, and as they spoke, every one of the Jewish people heard in their own dialect, their own language, the wonderful words of God. This was something special. This was something that never happened before. What a great amazement. Those people heard the word of God. But you know, they didn't understand what was happening. They couldn't believe it. They just were bemused. They just did not know. Whereas the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ, had already explained to them that the Holy Ghost would be upon them very shortly. And here, these people, in their amazement, and they asked a question. What meaneth this? Or in the own words, what is all this about? What is happening here? They were so amazed. But then there was also others there as well, and they mocked. They mocked. And they said, these men are filled with new wine. You know, there's always mockers. Whenever the word of God, where moderate goes around the world, there are those people who will mock it, those people who will laugh at it and scorn at it. And even God's people, we have to be careful the way we handle God's word. And we do not be mocking it without maybe thinking about it. And we must always be very careful. And to read God's word and to go by God's word alone. And if you do read books, if you do hear preachers, always go back to the scriptures and look for yourself and find out. It's very important. This is God's word. And sometimes we can get carried away with ourselves. But as Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. And we just have to be very, very careful when we handle God's word. Then thirdly, we see the guidance of the Holy Ghost. We see Peter's response to the question, what meaneth this? Now we look back at last Lord's Day's message, and we saw that Peter stood up and in connection with Judas Iscariot. Remember, that's where we looked at it last week. And here again, he takes control. And he is a leader. And as he stands up, and he gives a sermon to them, a man filled with the Holy Ghost. This was the Holy Ghost is speaking. And he starts by explaining what had happened. And he goes to the Old Testament scriptures. And he tells them about prophecy. And that Joel, the prophet, prophesied that this was going to happen. That I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and they shall prophesy and show wonders in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then after that, he goes on and he preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the center of his message. And this has always been the center of the preacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't preach Christ crucified, It's all is in vain. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel that we track, says the bottom of our meeting house. We must preach the Lord Jesus. And even as your personal witness, as we witness to the people in our families, in our towns, we must always preach the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we preach Him? By our living. Showing them whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came into our hearts that He changed us. We're now new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that they will see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We will soon be looking at the fruits of the Spirit from tonight onwards for this and next Lord's Day. And we'll see how important this is. This is one of the most wonderful ways of preaching the Word of God, is by your personal testimony. By people seeing that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He preached the works of Christ. And there in verse 20 and 21, it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yes, He preached the work why Christ came into this world, to save precious souls, to die there. He came to save us. And He goes on and He tells the testimony of Christ and His life and the great miracles. Yes, you have heard the miracles. You have seen the miracles. He is already here. And then He goes on and He speaks about His death. And we see in verse 23 in chapter 2, and it tells us of Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. This plan of God was God's foreknowledge. God knew what was going to happen before the foundation of the world. God knew all about it. It was His plan. It just didn't happen by chance. It was God's plan. And here Peter tells the Jewish people. And then he goes on, and in verse 23 again, he speaks of His death. As Christ came into the world to die on the cross and Calvary, yes, it was the plan of God. But then also it says, "But by wicked hands have crucified Him." It says, "And ye have taken," you in my own words now, "you have killed the Lord Jesus Christ," He says to the people. He was clear, and He was blunt, and He was plain. You killed Him. You killed Him. You delivered Him to be dead. And then He goes on and He speaks again of the resurrection. And it says in verse 24, "Whom God has raised up." God raised the Son up from the dead. He's alive. He is alive forevermore. And there, in verse 27 and verse 31 it says, "And His body did not see corruption." And in verse 31 He speaks about David speaking the same thing, the psalmist, and he tells that his body never saw corruption. And his body, his whole body. Remember how when He died on the cross, "Spirit went to be with the Father. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." But His body went to the grave. It's just the same whenever we die. Our soul will either go to heaven to be with the Lord, or go to a lost eternity. And the body goes into the grave, or goes into the sea, or goes into ashes. This is what happens. And the body corrupts. As soon as it goes cold, it starts to corrupt. But Christ's body did not see corruption.
No part of his body, blood or anything else, saw corruption, because the blood is alive today. It's alive. And how wonderful that is. That gives us a real strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here you can see the people looking at Peter and taking it all in. And he says that in John 14, he told the people what God promised us. And the Lord Jesus Christ promised us. When he spoke in John chapter 14, he promised his apostles that he would send the Comforter. And he would lead them and he would guide them. And then it says in verse 32, it tells us, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. This is the importance of last Lord's Day message. Because Matthias took the place of Judas Iscariot. There were 12 disciples. There had to be 12. They had to be numbered together. And in verse 34 we see the Lordship of Jesus Christ proven. And then fourthly we have the spiritual awakening of the Holy Ghost. In verse 37 it tells us, and after they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. The Holy Ghost had come and convicted those people as they listened to the Word of God, as the Lord Jesus Christ was preached. They were convicted of their sin. They realized they were lost. This is what, if anyone in their meeting is not saved, that's what you must do, realize that you're lost. That's your first step. And then as Peter went on and he says, repent. It's the only way. You must repent of your sin. You must turn away from it. Realize you're a sinner and repent. And then it goes on in verse 38 and it says, and be baptized. This is what the Bible says. In the name of Jesus. And baptism is a witness to God's salvation. They're a witness. They asked a question. And they got the answer. And then we have the spiritual enlightenment of the Holy Ghost. They received the message they heard. They received the message of God about the Lord Jesus Christ with gladness. And what did they do? They repented of their sin and they were baptized. That day 3,000 souls were saved. What a mighty enlightenment there was. And then finally we see the blessing of salvation. We see the great blessing through the Holy Spirit. And we read just in closing, I'm just going to read these verses. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had his need. They continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. And the Lord added, as the Lord added to the church daily, as should be seen. Oh yes, we see the blessing of teaching there. And how important it is, a great blessing to be taught the Word of God. We see the blessing of fellowship. It's good to have fellowship one with the other. But most of all, it's good to have fellowship with God. We see the blessing of knowledge and signs. And how wonderful the knowledge is and the signs. Many people are being saved
The signs were here, 3,000 people were saved. And then we see the blessing of unity. This is a tremendous blessing. We must be in unity as we seek to see the lost one in Kingston. As we seek to prepare the way for God's servant to come and to preach thy word, so they be able to have children's meetings and young people's fellowships and have prayer meetings and missions and other work. And how the blessing of love. You know, we must love one another. This is important. We're in the Lord's work. We must show love. What did they do? The believers sold what they had and gave it to the apostles for the Lord's work. What a great token of love. Let us give our love for the work here in Kingston. Most of all, for the love to the Lord. Love for the Lord for his work to see going on. And the blessing of remembrance. Remember how we remember the Lord in our communion services. And the blessing of praise. You know, it's always good to praise the Lord. Whenever you're feeling down, even your way, or even in your house to yourself, or out in the field, don't be afraid to sing unto the Lord. Sing his praises and praise him. And then we see the blessing there is of seeing others saved. It's a great blessing to see people saved. And how you can, whenever they come and tell you, you know, I once was a sinner, and I am saved. It delights the soul, it delights the heart. Do pray that the Lord would bless it. One thing we must remember, that this is God's work.